know why I drink, Paul. A lot of reasons. But...
okay. What's this weekend's reason?
The NFL is back. The Bengals are back to breaking my heart. We are full of hope and joy, and then we could not kick a field goal to extend the game. And
Yeah. I actually yelled at my TV. I turned on the I actually signed up for Hulu with live TV, whatever, so I could watch football. And I thought what I was going to be seeing was a different game. And I'm like, who are these? Who is this team? What is this? And it was the Bengals. And I was like,
It was a good, like, it
get
was
out of there quick enough.
It was a good game. Like, I mean, it came down to the last 2 seconds of the game, and our punter or field goal kicker, who has one specific job, completely shanked the punt or kick, whatever. This was after a somewhat shady call of offensive pass interference that would have won us the game. But here we are. And so now we go to Thursday with the Browns. And if we lose that, then it'll be on to the Masters, which is in November.
Football for me is kind of interesting. I don't really have a team anymore. You know, I did watch part of the Patriots. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't. I'm sorry. I couldn't watch the Patriots game for some reason. I followed it. I watched clips of it on Twitter.
Did you watch the fake Patriots game out of Florida?
I did. I watched the first half, and then I kind of checked in from time to time after that. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady started out great, and then he turned into Tom Brady from last year. And I was like, right, that's why we got rid of him.
I think when we look back on this particular football session, we'll get to tech in a second. We're going to refer to Tom Brady at Tampa Bay as the Michael Jordan at the White Sox. That's going to be...
Oh, the White Sox. I was going to say the Wizards. Because there will be moments of brilliance.
Or Wizards, I guess, would make sense, too. That's how like bad that was.
I mean, it's hard when you do one thing your entire life and that's the one thing you're good at and you have to give it up. And mm-hmm. in Michael Jordan's case, he did it twice like an idiot. But, you know, you play into your 40s, you know, which to me is like a distant memory of youthfulness, you know, but for a professional athlete is,
That's,
you know, a difficult thing. Yeah. But like Drew Brees is over 40. And granted, football is a team game, but from an individual stats perspective, I mean, there's no one better than him in many ways. And he played great, you know? So, that game was interesting from that perspective, I guess. But yeah, it makes me feel okay. I'll pull this into a music comparison. Cause I was a big, still am a big Van Halen fan, although they're a terrible band as far as like people and being people to, and being nice to each other. But, they broke up in the mid 1980s and, in 1986, there was a tour. There were tours for Van Halen and also for David Lee Roth, their former lead singer. And I was like, look, I'd rather they were back together, but it's kind of cool. We have two things we can kind of enjoy now. And the Patriots and Tom Brady are a little bit like that.
The other thing we're not going to get to enjoy is I was really looking forward to your TikTok debut. But, you know.
I signed up for TikTok.
I did, too. I also deleted the app yesterday.
Did you? Nice. I'm going to wait and see on that, but, I don't think I'm not going to be a big presence on TikTok. I can tell you that. I do have an editorial, that will be out soon. I had written one back in early August about Microsoft potentially buying TikTok at that time. And I called it damned if you do, you know?
Yeah.
The idea that Microsoft was going to cede this kind of moral authority that it had attained under Satya Nadella by aligning itself with the U.S. government to seize a company away from China. And, you know, you had put up a story last night about Microsoft, I think was the first to publicly confirm that they had been rejected.
Yeah.
You know, aside from rumors and whatnot. And they issued a very short statement, but and it's like 3 or 4 sentences. It's not that much. But in those words, and then, of course, in their August, they wrote a big post in August as well. But you can kind of see what they were trying to do. And you can almost look at it from an opposite viewpoint where – like they sort of probably they had to have understood like the hit they were going to take to their reputation for this, but there may have been some I don't want to call them charitable because Microsoft's a company and they sought to benefit from this. Of course, I'm not an idiot, but I mean, you could make the argument as we have for things like GitHub or Minecraft, right? That Microsoft, given the situation, right, which was not of Microsoft's making. If this part of the company has to be plucked out of China and taken to the United States, Microsoft might have been the perfect steward for that.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, anyway, and I think that's what they originally wanted, was just they wanted to be that quiet partner in the background, like, look, we're just holding the data. That's all we're doing. But
yes, and that's the thing, right? So you can have whatever opinion you want about whether a company from China would ever ally with the army or something and seize information, or specifically target certain users with maybe political stuff because they want a certain person to be elected president or whatever. You can. It doesn't kind of matter if you believe that or not. Mm-hmm. By the way, there's no evidence that's ever actually happened. But okay, fine. It's a concern. Microsoft would have solved that problem, right? By bringing that source code to the United States, storing it on the servers, and managing the service, they would have ensured that nothing like that could have ever happened. And that is a company I would trust to do that.
Yeah,
that's all. So, if you believe that stuff, you would trust Microsoft too for the same reason,
Yeah. Instead, we get to trust what's going to be Oracle here.
I don't trust Oracle at all. And the thing is, it's not clear as of now what Oracle did, right?
Right.
Microsoft, their bid grew from U.S. operations to U.S., New Zealand, Australia, to, we'll take all of it. And they wanted the algorithms. They wanted the source code. They wanted it on their servers. Oracle, it's not clear what Oracle wants. And and the language we've seen so far, and again, there's been no big announcements yet, so it's kind of hard to say what's happening, is like partnership. So it's not even clear that this will meet the demands of the U.S. government.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see.
We will. I can't tell if this is you or me. Is your audio coming through your speakers, not your headset?
It is. Jesus. I don't even. I'm sorry. Yep. Yeah. It's, what is it? A day?
What's Monday? It is Monday.
There we go. Sorry about that. Okay. And now I'll click by mistake. I'll just put an end to this charade.
The other fun thing that was announced, because there wasn't enough going on between Brad crying over missing a field goal, Microsoft not buying TikTok, Oracle buying TikTok, is then NVIDIA is like, yeah, we're going to spend $40 billion and buy ARM.
Mm. Which, if this ARM thing had come up like a year ago, NVIDIA couldn't have afforded to do this.
Oh, yeah. Not, it would have been crazy.
It's incredible. And I just talked about Microsoft as being like a great steward for TikTok. I have to say, NVIDIA is the ideal steward for ARM. If you think about everyone's like, oh, why doesn't Apple buy them? Why doesn't Microsoft buy them? Why doesn't, whatever, Qualcomm, No. You need a company that is nonpartisan in a tech sense. Like ARM has open licensing. They're going to maintain that. They're going to maintain ARM as a separate company. They're going to maintain their Cambridge, England headquarters, appeasing the UK government, which had gotten that guarantee from SoftBank when did they buy ARM? 2016, maybe, something like that. But it's this weird confluence of NVIDIA was a company that made graphics cards for PCs. Who cares? Like, that's we care as gamers, but it's in the scope of things, not a big deal. Through some grand coincidence, those chipset designs are awesome for AI, and NVIDIA now makes more, or as much at least, and more, I think more from the data center operations than they do from graphic cards. Well, that's where ARM's going too, to the data center. It's perfect. Like, it's good. It's funny, NVIDIA, my wife, I was talking, because I'm bore my wife to tears every morning. I mentioned this company and this thing, and she had never heard of ARM or NVIDIA. And I said, well, you've heard of Intel. And she said, yeah. I said, they're going to be the company that gets killed by these guys. So,
yeah.
Yeah,
you're surprisingly more optimistic about this than I am. I don't know if NVIDIA is the wrong company, but I don't know if they're always the right, just because, again, they are going to be the steward of the ARM processor. Mm-hmm. And to your point, what you just said, Apple, Qualcomm, there's all these companies that depend on what ARM does. And are they, yes, they're going to remain open. They're going to do everything they say they're going to do. But you got to think at the back of their mind and be like, there's some good stuff coming down. Maybe we could get a little jump up on that.
Okay. I see what you're saying for its own. Yeah. Right.
You don't pay $40 billion for a company to just let them sit there and just run amok. So.
No, of course not. But I think the point of the purchase and the reason that ARM is worth that much is the sheer number of devices, IoT,
the way
up to data centers, that this stuff's going to be running on. So
I fully agree.
I think the returns are there. And, as far as like Intel goes, I keep saying this, like Intel, and by the way, Intel makes great stuff. Honestly, their latest generation chips are incredible. For PCs, right? This is a company that has struggled horribly with mobile, you know, yep. mobile devices, but also with PCs that could be thin light and fanless, et cetera. They just, for some reason, have had a hard time moving in that direction. And this is what's gonna kill them, because that kind of chipset is exactly what is needed now and in the future for mobile devices, personal computing devices of all kinds, other than gigantic workstations and gaming PCs, of course, and in the data center, right? Mm-hmm. It's huge. Like, this is huge. IoT, all these little devices are going to be in our walls and in the lights and everywhere. That it's all going to be this kind of design. I will say the big problem that NVIDIA could have going mm-hmm. forward is actually going to be Apple, right?
Oh, yeah.
I would imagine in the coming years, Apple is going to announce that they're splitting Apple Silicon off and will no longer really? Be. Yeah. Like, that's
spin that out. That would be.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That I think is inevitable, right? As part of their.
I mean, that's let's just venture down that sort of a crazy path. Assuming they do. I mean, that is a gigantic smash to companies like Qualcomm, NVIDIA, to like any other silicon manufacturer. That would be.
Yeah. So I mean, sometime possible. In the next. I don't buy into this automatic assumption that Apple's A series, whatever, are better than Qualcomm's 8 series, whatever. Like, I benchmarks are benchmarks. Like, I use high-end Android phones all the time. I go back and forth with Apple. I have never once gone to the iPhone and be like, oh my God, this is way faster. Like, it's not faster at all. So I will see. Benchmarks are something. I'm very curious to see how the silicon stuff goes on the new Macs. And but Apple, you know, being Apple, I mean, yeah, you know, they don't like to partner with anybody. I mean, I don't know how the
super interesting though. Like, just you know, the narrative writes itself. Apple kind of sees like, okay, our revenue is starting to, you know, flatline or mm-hmm. whatever, and they say, okay, we're going to making this up. Apple A series 15 can also be used to run Android. That'll be the first chip, and the pitch will be very easy. It's right. Like, hey, look, it still runs more efficient on iOS because we're running the whole stack. But
that's interesting. That's interesting. That would almost have to be like a separate company, you know, like a literal spinoff.
Yeah. Like, who knows? Yeah. But I mean, that is if they would go down that route, that is a massive upside for them, because they effectively, again, go from zero market share other than their own devices to whatever. And that's a huge win.
It's funny. I had kind of a minor thought along these lines with Apple Watch. You know, is it tomorrow? I think there's an event and we're expecting 15th, to see.
Yes.
So we're expecting to see Apple Watch Series 6 and some kind of a lower end, maybe polycarbonate based. By the way, we joked about polycarbonate in Apple Watch, and I think that's actually happening.
Yeah, Apple Watch SE or something like that.
Yeah. So those could be announced tomorrow, and then whatever iPad. So this sort of thought flashed through my mind, like, Apple already dominates the smartwatch market. You could make the case that they kind of dominate the wearables market as well. Mm-hmm. Like, where do you go from here? Why don't they make this thing work on Android, right? Like, why don't they do that? Like, with Apple, there's always like these little cherry pick series of things where you're like, well, this would make sense on Android. I know they hate to do this, but like Apple Music, they did. People have been begging for iMessage or whatever they're calling that today, messages or whatever, to come to Android. I think Apple Watch makes sense. You know,
I mean, it's plausible. So knowing, you know, this is speculating here, knowing Apple, they're going to look at how long can we ride this out on iOS when do we see the sale starting to taper? Then that's when they start to think that is going to be the case. That is when they would introduce the Android, because then they're now getting a massive sales bump.
Listen, there is absolutely Apple Watch envy on the Android side. I'm using this Fitbit thing. It frustrates the hell out of me. It's impossible. Like, when I'm in the gym, I have to like kind of look at it. Like, I can't see it. It's between the lighting and the dimness of the display at its highest setting. Like, and I've ordered a pre-ordered, I don't even know what it's called, whatever the Fitbit watch is called.
Is it the Verse?
The new one.
Is that what
it is? The Sense, I think it's called, or something. It's the new one, like whatever the new one.
Yep.
They have a new name. Yeah. It's like the Versa 3.5 or something. So, you know, well, mostly because it has a color display and partially because, you know what, I do have years of data in this thing and whatever. But I think about Apple Watch a lot just for the health stuff. I mean, I have enough Apple devices I could sync it and stuff. Mm-hmm. It would be kind of stupid, but I could do it. But if Apple Watch just worked on Android, I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay. You know, and I think there are millions of people who would do this. Huawei, Oppo, Samsung, although they're round. I mean, a lot of these companies just come out with these things that are clearly like, this is like Apple Watch, but it works with your phone, you know?
What they could do and what would be annoying to every Android user, but be very good for Apple is they say, yeah, it'll work, but you got to have some sort of iCloud subscription to do it.
Yes. Yes. Well, I mean, they look, this strategy worked with the iPod, right? Mm-hmm. They went with Windows after, I think, the third one, maybe.
Yeah.
And obviously, it worked with the iPhone as well, which was never Apple only from the beginning. But, you know, I don't know. It's that makes sense. You know, your little headphone things, right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you can connect them with Bluetooth, but I'm also sure they do have special software that only works on Apple. Like, they should make those available to Android users. And not because I want those I don't want, but I mean, I could see people wanting those. And that's how you get people into your ecosystem with these little the little things, you know?
Yeah.
It's a little taste to Apple. And you're like, I really like this experience. Maybe I'll buy a phone next time.
And we're going to get a little taste of PlayStation here this week, too. I think they're going to...
That's right. That's so on. Do you think we're going to get pricing, right?
That's the only thing that's left.
Yeah.
Pricing and availability, so...
What's your guess? Have you guessed on the price?
So I think that... I think they would be nuts to launch their you know, the one with the drive any higher than $499, knowing what Microsoft is doing. I think that's going to be the top. The question is, what is the pricing of the non-drive one? It's either got to be like $449 or could they do $399? That would be interesting, but those disk drives aren't $100. So
that's right. We'll see. Yeah. So I'm exactly in the same space. Like if you want to be aggressive with the pricing, you could say for $100 more than a Xbox Series S, you get a full console,
mm-hmm.
you know, full GPU, full, you know, full power. It's the same console.
The funny thing is that the Series S CPU is actually, I think, faster than the CPU in the PS5.
That's funny.
Now, the GPU is not,
right,
because it's not supposed to be, but yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll see. By the way, the Apple Watch thing, I don't expect them to announce like Android compatibility or anything. I'm just saying, I just want to be clear about that. I don't think they're going to announce that. I wish they would.
We're going to cut that out of the podcast so that it's, you know, attributed to you.
You said. Yeah, that's the problem with talking.